the Redeemer and the Sustainer, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Today we are going to celebrate our Earth Day. The Sunday after Easter is one day after the internationally recognized Earth Day, and I've invited two scientists to be with me this morning. One scientist is here already, and that's John, who read the Gospel, and Rick Warder. I invite you to come on down, my famous phrase from The Price is Right, and we are going together talk about Christians' response to the earth and our responsibilities as stewards of the environment. We begin by praying the collect of today. O God, our beginning and our end, accept our doubts, heal our desire for certainty, and by your Spirit's gentle touch, make us a people forgiven and forgiving, through Jesus Christ, the giver of peace. Amen. John, come on down too. And I invite to us to start by both men beside me. I want you to consider that Thomas was the first scientist that we have recorded in the scripture. Now, people in the past have named Thomas as the doubting Thomas, but I want to see that we change Thomas's name to Thomas the Scientist, because he wanted evidence about the resurrection. And scientists seek evidence. And what we're about today, we have to start working at changing the Christian understanding of science. For some crazy reason, Christians have often thought in the last 300 years that scientists are not to be trusted. And that's crazy. I trust these guys. Scientists are to be trusted. And evidence is important for us as Christians. People still want to believe that the world is a flat disk. Science has shown us by the picture taken of the Earth. In 1968, we have seen the picture of the Earth marble floating out in the world, out in the universe. That's our island home. I've asked Rick to read for us a portion of scripture from the prophet Isaiah.
Go ahead. Okay. I'm reading from chapter 43, verses 16 to 21. Thus says the Lord, who opened a way in the sea and a path through mighty waters, who drew on chariot and horse to their destruction a whole army, men of valor. There they lay, never to rise again. They were crushed, snuffed out like a wick. Cease to dwell on days gone by and to brood over history. Here and now I will do a new thing. This moment it will break from the bud. Can you not perceive it? I will make a way even through the wilderness and paths in the barren desert. The wild beasts shall do me honor, the wolf and the ostrich. For I will provide water in the wilderness and rivers in the barren desert, where my chosen people may drink. And they shall proclaim my praises.
Thank you, Rick. So here we have it, that God is present, providing life like the breaking buds that we see around us here in our springtime, providing all that we need. But there's a sense of the experience of it ever expanding and getting to know more about it, that it's a spiritual thing to know more about what's going on and to be inquisitive. Both of you are scientists, and you've worked all your lives as getting evidence. John, how do you connect your scientific approach, because you're an agrologist, I guess in Quebec we'd call you that. I don't know what it's known as here, outside of French Canada. But in French Canada, what John does, he'd be known as an agrologist. How do you put together your faith and your ability to be a scientist?
I think that there are there's a lot of evidence that much of what we read in the Bible is based on fact.
Sadly, at this point, the recording equipment misfunctioned and cut off Dr. John Bauer in the midst of his discourse on his faith connection to his own scientific work. The sermon continued with both scientists, Dr. Rick Warda, who is our parish warden, and Dr. John Bauer, who is our deacon in training, talking about science and its impact on their lives, and science as a driving force for their faith, and faith as a driving force for their scientific exploration. Our sermon continued with my remembering the impact upon myself about 25 years ago when I was at a lecture in Calgary, when a woman who is a Hebrew scholar talking about the planet said this: one day in the fullness of time, all of creation will be given its voice, and we will be called to sit down at the table and listen, really listen, and hear the pain we have caused to the planet. When I think about that and reflect on it, on this Sunday being the second Sunday of Easter and the Sunday in which we remember Earth Day and our responsibility as Christians to be stewards, I imagine in my mind hearing the ocean weeping as it is clogged with billions, literally billions of pounds of trash that we as humans have heaped and helped to dump into it. I imagine the air coughing, choked with pollution that we continue to pump out. Imagine the pain of trees being clear cut and mountains being reduced to sludge. Imagine what the icebergs melting would have to say, or the groundwater rotting. Imagine the cries of animals being eaten or hunted to extinction. Imagine the hunger of mothers and fathers and the thirst of small children, thousands who still die every day for want of clean, potable water. We have been called to be stewards of the earth. We have been called to understand that climate change is not a belief. I believe in God. Climate change is a fact, scientifically proven. As both the scientists shared, they look for evidence to base upon claims. It's not about faith. Faith inspires them to dig deeper. Just as Thomas, the scientist, not a doubter, but a scientist, dug deeper into what others had witnessed, and he saw that Jesus was alive for him. And he, as the first scientist in the Bible, I support what he claimed. For we take on faith his scientific ability. So on this climate Sunday, the World Earth Day, we have to remember that there was one planet, one God, one people. We must all work together. And as we receive the Eucharist, remember that Jesus died for all, and that God's love is for all, no matter what our race, color, creed, or language, and that God is all in all.
May God bless us all. Amen.